looks like a clinic on how not to do things on the baseball field.
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Mann. Brought to you by Big Y Grocery Store, T-Mobile, Needham Bank, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Jordan's Furniture, Equity from Marvin Windows and Doors, TestTrips.com, Acura of Auburn, Anderson McQuaid, Direct Federal Credit Union, Gravely Lawnmowers, AceTicket.com, WFXD-TV, and Mohegan Sun. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
And fly ball lifted into right field. Backing up, and Mookie will track that one down at the base of the wall. That's the ball game. The Red Sox win this one by a final score of 8-2. Kinsler should have a big smile. He's right in the thick of it, driving in three runs. Long afternoon, TC. A very fruitful one. The Red Sox back in the win column.
So maybe that's the stage the Red Sox are at now. They're going to a place like Chicago against a bad team of the White Sox, and they split four-game series, look pretty lethargic, and then they go into Atlanta, play a good team, and they play better. Maybe it's totally flipped. Maybe now these are the Red Sox that we're going to see down the stretch, a team that plays when it needs to play versus when it, you know, versus playing every night, because they're 7-7 in their last 14. Not that there's anything wrong with that, because the Yankees aren't going to catch them. But a day like yesterday reassures me that the Red Sox can turn it up when they have to. I don't want to say turn it on, but turn it up. In any case, that was the outcome, but that's not the story from the weekend. 617-779-0. What did I say?
779-0985. Long weekend, man.
For some reason, I thought I gave the wrong number there for a minute, Murray. Wouldn't be the first time. Again, 617-779-0985. Billy Lanny's in for Jimmy Stewart, and I will open up the phones right away, but here's where I want to begin. Did you catch this comment by Dave Dombrowski over the weekend? I mean, what a weasel move this was. Okay, and look, Dombrowski's got a team that's got the best record in baseball. So ultimately, I suppose he can thumb his nose at whoever he wants, including me. But when he was asked about the Red Sox bullpen again over the weekend, here was his comment. Listen to this one. It's also interesting you have the tendency... Let me rephrase, sorry. It's also interesting, Dombrowski said, you have the tendency to look at your own pitchers, but when you look at a lot of the pitchers who had been discussed, who had been discussed around the deadline, from a bullpen perspective, a lot of them have scuffled too. Just because you mention names doesn't necessarily mean they make you better at that particular point. It may be a different name. We feel comfortable that we will straighten things out. Okay, so again, end quote. Dave Dombrowski basically justifying the fact that the Red Sox did nothing at the trading deadline to address their bullpen, and then they didn't do it again at the deadline for playoff eligibility on September 1st. On neither case did the Red Sox make a move to add a reliever. Neither time. And so when he was asked about it most recently, and again, this was a couple of days ago, you know what Dombrowski's answer is? Well, what do you guys know? Did you guys take a look around and see what some of these other relievers have done? Zach Britton. Did you take a look at Zach Britton with the Yankees? You guys are idiots. What do you know? Except that he's wrong. He's wrong. Jerry's Familia with the A's has done well. Jesse Chavez with the Cubs, as Murray pointed out. 28 strikeouts, 2 walks. Ryan Pressly, the Astros acquired him. The Astros, who needed bullpen help just like you do. The Astros got Ryan Pressly, 19 strikeouts, no walks, with an ERA just above 1 since he went to Houston. And I haven't even mentioned Brad Hand, who went to the Indians. So again, Dombrowski sits here and says, well, you know, if you look at a lot of the names that have gone to other teams, none of them have really pitched that well. Which is wrong. Secondly, even if they have all pitched poorly, who would you rather have, Murray, Nathan Eovaldi or Zach Britton? And be honest, you don't have to...
No, I would take Zach Britton.
Okay, because you already know my answer on that. And because I look at it this way, Nathan Eovaldi, I don't know, he might be okay in October, but I'll take my chances on the guy who's the better pitcher. Britton might suck, but at the very least, Here's what I want.
Well, at least it truly addresses a need.
Okay, and you know what? Take Evaldi out of it because the Red Sox said, at least at the time, that they were acquiring him as a starter. Okay? At least at the time. And they keep telling us over and over again that they are confident in their bullpen and that they believe their bullpen will turn the corner. I hope so. I hope he's right. Because the other thing that bothers me about the trading deadline and then again the deadline for playoff eligibility is the fact that Dombrowski did nothing. Nothing. So even if he wanted to mock the other teams, first of all, the prices in many cases were low. It was a buyer's market. Because there were so few teams in contention, the teams that were selling off bullpen pieces probably didn't get as much as they normally would have had there been more teams in contention. There were more sellers than buyers. Okay, more sellers than buyers. So the prices were not all that high. And I'm even going back to Kelvin Herrera, who was traded in late May, early June. I don't even remember, but that deal was early when he went from Kansas City to the Nationals. So the prices were low, and just because another team made a move, that makes them stupid? Or did they at least have the guts and the wherewithal to actually buy a lottery ticket and say, you know what? We'll take a shot. We'll buy a raffle ticket. We're in it. And at the very least, we're going to try to help our team. Even if we don't end up helping them, we're going to try. So I look at some of the guys that were traded to these other teams, and I say, well, they're better than what the Red Sox have. Really, Matt Barnes, Ryan Brazier, Joe Kelly, Heath Embry. Maybe the Red Sox will catch lightning in a bottle, and maybe Dombrowski will come out of this smelling like roses. Okay, and again, in a lot of ways, Dombrowski's credibility at stake this October, maybe more than any guy in that team, maybe more than any player on that team, is Dombrowski with great stakes. Dombrowski's credibility on the line. If they bow out, and they bow out early because their bullpen does them in, oh boy, Dombrowski's going to look like a donkey. He's going to look like a real donkey. Again, that comment, you have the tendency to look at your own pitchers, but when you look at a lot of the pitchers who had been discussed around the trading deadline from a bullpen perspective, a lot of them have scuffled too. Just because you mention names doesn't necessarily mean they make you better at that particular point. It may be a different name. We feel comfortable that they will that we will straighten things out. And then beyond that, the X factor for the Red Sox has been Ryan Brazier. Dombrowski has said Ryan Brazier is a key guy for us. We believe in Ryan Brazier. He was a highly regarded prospect. Only health has gotten in the way. Yesterday, Ryan Brazier got into the seventh inning against the Atlanta Braves. And you know what happened? He got an out. Then he gave up three straight hits, and he gave up a sac fly in a 3-1 game. So it became 3-2 with two men on. 3-2, two men on base in the seventh inning. And you know what Alex Cora did? So again, let me set the situation again. 3-2, two outs, seventh inning, two men on. Brazier started the inning. He gave up the sac fly to make it 3-2. And then in a game in early September against the National League team, while the Red Sox held a big lead in the American League East, Alex Cora pulled Brazier from the game. He pulled him, which means that come October, I'm not holding my breath that all of a sudden Brazier is going to get the ball in the eighth inning against the Yankees in New York, against the Astros in Houston, against the Indians in Cleveland. I'm not holding my breath on any of those because I don't think Alex Cora wants to use him in those games either. So in any case, we're off and running, 617-779-0985. I want to get to some other things, too. Xander Bogaerts with a big hit yesterday has gotten a lot of attention. The return of Eduardo Rodriguez over the weekend, we'll touch on that. And let me just remind you all as well that, excuse me, you can listen to the Baseball Reporters podcast whenever you want on our website at 985thesportshub.com. You can also listen on the app, on the Sports Hub app, on that you can download from your app store. And make sure you download the correct app. It is the one with the 98.5 logo. You can listen to this program, any program on the station, as well as Hardcore Baseball with Matt McCarthy. 617-779-0985. 98.5 is your number. When we come back, we'll get to Xander Bogaerts and that big hit yesterday.
We have the Sox coming. This is the Baseball Reporter. Tony Mazzara, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Shot to center field. He will not get it. Here comes Brock Holt. Here comes Benintendi. Down to third, Martinez. RBIs 87 and 88. And the Red Sox lead it 7-2.
Big hit by Xander Bogaerts late in that game yesterday. Blew it open. Red Sox end up beating the Braves 8-2. Bogaerts has been a key guy all year long for the Red Sox. And in terms of them lengthening the lineup, he's absolutely huge. And look, what you saw yesterday, and I think just about everybody is focused on this aspect of the game yesterday because it was a striking occurrence late in the game. Game was tight. The Braves walked J.D. Martinez with two men on to load the bases and pitch to Bogaerts with two outs. And Xander Bogaerts roped a double into the gap to blow the game open. The Red Sox go on to win. Xander Bogaerts now 88 RBI. 88 RBI. He's going to get 100 RBI this year. And if you had told me coming into the season that Xander Bogaerts is going to get 100 RBI, I'd tell you, boy, that's tremendous development for the Red Sox. I felt like out of three guys, those being J.D. Martinez, Bogaerts, and Devers, the Red Sox needed two of those guys to come through, and two have. Okay, so I think Bogaerts is second on the team and runs batted in. And this is no small thing. So my question is this. Does it make you more confident that he will produce in October? And so I'll ask Billy Lanny and I'll ask Jim Murray here in a minute if they can tell me. I looked this up this morning and I was stunned to find this out. Okay, I was stunned. Of the top 10 hitters in the American League with in batting average with runners in scoring position, okay, which is really the equivalent of third down in the NFL. I've always said that. Although really with two outs and runners in scoring position is third down. But nonetheless, scoring opportunities. Okay, batting average with runners in scoring position, let's equate that one to red zone efficiency. Okay, when you get a chance to score, can you score? And more importantly, can you get multiple runs? Comes down to OPS, slugging, and batting average with runners in scoring position. In OPS, with runners in scoring position, top 10 hitters in the American League, how many do you think the Red Sox have?
Four.
Billy, you want to take a guess? How many do you think out of the top 10 the Red Sox have batting OPS with runners in scoring position this year?
I'm going to go one into Murray. I'm saying three.
Okay. Four is correct, Murray. Good job.
Oh.
Now, can you name them?
Martinez, Betts, I guess Bogaerts because you're talking about him. And
the other one's going to surprise you.
Benintendi?
Steve Pierce.
Ah.
Okay, Steve Pierce. So let me just give you some of these numbers to give you an idea of what these guys have done. Okay? Pierce has had the fewest number of plate appearances, which is exactly 50. I said at bats, it's 50 plate appearances minimum. He has hit with runners in scoring position 395 with an OPS of 1215. That is best on the team. And that includes, by the way, his prior contributions before coming to Boston. So that's not all with the Red Sox. But Pierce has been a tough out with guys in scoring position this year. Second is Betts. Betts' OPS is 1214 with runners in scoring position. Just an astronomical number. He's batting 329. J.D. Martinez with runners in scoring position, 405 average, 1179 OPS. And Xander Bogaerts, 347 average, 1169 OPS. In at-bats with runners in scoring position, Xander Bogaerts has the most RBI in the team, even more than J.D. Martinez, which actually makes sense if you think about it, because Martinez hits more home runs, so he's getting, you know, RBI when guys are on first base, no runners in scoring position, whereas Bogaerts needs those base runners because he's really racked up a ton of doubles. Actually, you know, and he has 10 home runs too. Don't get me wrong, the grand slams, everything else. But Bogaerts, huge development. So now here's my question. Does this sort of stuff carry over? And the other reason I bring this up, years ago, I remember talking to Theo Epstein about this, and this gets into an old age versus new age discussion in baseball. Sabermetrics versus traditional metrics. RBI versus OPS. That sort of discussion. And I was talking about, and I don't remember who the run producer was, but I was talking about somebody who knocks in a lot of runs. And Theo Epstein said to me, RBI are overrated. RBI are a product of opportunity. They're purely a product of coming up with men on base. And this gets back to Moneyball and Billy Beane. The more base runners you have, the more guys that score, because you can score two with a single. If the bases are loaded, you have second and third, you get a single, that's enough. So Theo was a big believer in that. Don't make outs. If you don't make outs, you get on the bases, and then however we score, we score. Whether it's a home run, a double, but we, the more people we get on, the more runs we will score. And that logically, there's a truth in that. So we got further into the discussion, and one of the things he said, RBI might be overrated. If you wanted to give me batting average with runners in scoring position, that might be different. The question is whether or not that translates every year. So, for example, there are a lot of guys who could knock in 100 runs every season, but that doesn't mean that they always hit well with runners in scoring position. It just means that they get the opportunity to drive home those runs. So, in the case of Bogaerts, I told you he's batting 347 with runners in scoring position. You know what he hit last year? 282. That's a 60-point difference. 65 points. And 282 is not bad. But the OPS drops from 1169 to 746. His OPS drops 400 points. So again, which guy are you going to get in October? Are you going to get the guy with the 746 OPS? Or are you going to get the guy with 1169? And then the year before that, 269 average, 787. I'd be willing to bet that with a few exceptions, you're going to find guys whose average and OPS with runners in scoring position vary year to year. Now, whether or not they will vary from the regular season to the postseason, I don't know. But I still look at Bogaerts and feel like he can be mitigated a little bit. Maybe not as much as Mookie Betts, but he can be mitigated. Now, again, J.D. Martinez, his OPS the last 2 years with runners in scoring position has been over 1,100 both times. J.D. Martinez is a nightmare to pitch to. And for those of you who think I undersell Mookie Betts, here's your argument. Last 3 years, Mookie Betts' batting average with runners in scoring position, starting in 2016, 355, 355, 329. The OPS, 1,044, 1,007, 1,214. Mookie Betts has been brutal to pitch to in these situations for 3 years. Not just one, three. 3 years. Combined OPS over 1,000 and a batting average somewhere in the high 330s or 340. Mookie Betts has been a terror for 3 years with men in scoring position. That should give you reason for optimism in October. It's no guarantee, but it should give you reason for optimism. The question I have is, a guy like that who hits that well with men on base, particularly in scoring position, why is he hitting leadoff? Why is he hitting in a spot where at the bottom of the lineup you have guys who don't get on base? Jackie Bradley, Sandy Leon, Mookie Betts, given the kind of skill he's demonstrated in key spots over the last couple of years, Mookie Betts should be hitting in the middle of the lineup. It works for the Red Sox now because they have Martinez, and Betts likes being at the top. But last year, when the offense struggled, the more that I think about it, Mookie Betts should have been more willing to hit in the middle of the lineup, but he wasn't. 617-779-0985. We'll get to Eduardo Rodriguez this weekend. We'll take your calls. And don't forget, Trivia Tuesday coming up later in the show after Murray gets you caught up on headlines.
Sports Hub Headlines.
Red Sox continuing their series against the Braves in Atlanta tonight. You get Rick Porcello on the mound going up against lefty Sean Newcomb with first pitch at 7:10. But another Red Sox news, today they called up Brandon Phillips from AAA Pawtucket. He'll be wearing number 0. actually makes Phillips the first ever player in the history of the Red Sox to do so. They also activate third baseman Rafael Devers from the 10-day disabled list, but it's Eduardo Nunez at third base tonight. J.D. Martinez also named the American League Player of the Month of August. In 26 games in the month, he hit .373, had 11 doubles, 7 home runs, and drove in 25 RBI. Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, Bryson DeChambeau all named to the U.S. Ryder Cup team. Mickelson going to pass Nick Faldo with the most Ryder Cup appearances with 12 on either side. And the Patriots were practicing this afternoon, preparing for the season opener at home, coming up on Sunday against the Houston Texans. Source telling ESPN's Adam Schefter, offensive tackle Trent Brown's absence today and on Sunday. We're actually excused, so expect to see Brown back on the field tomorrow. And in other roster-related news, the Patriots waiving wide receiver Amara Darboh, re-signed offensive lineman Brian Schwenke to the 53-man roster, and they also signed wide receiver Jace Billingsley and offensive lineman Eric Smith to the practice squad. Tight end Rob Gronkowski also took to the podium after practice. He was asked about getting his contract reworked and how he felt about that.
Definitely a relief to have that all out of the way, and that was last week, and now... that's in the past, which is good, and just can put my main focus on the Houston Texans now.
And according to Mike Reese of ESPN Boston, Brandon Bolden, last with the Patriots, is going to be signing with the Miami Dolphins. Headlines are brought to you by Boston University's Real Estate Studies. Learn more at a September 5th information session by visiting bu.edu/professional. I'm Jim Murray, Boston's home for sports, 98.5 Sports Hub. Next update at 7.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I was feeling great with all my pitches, so I would say yes. I said it was really good. We have a little throw. All my pitches were right where I wanted, so that was pretty good.
Trivia Tuesday coming up next segment. Last one of the year. We'll get to that next segment. In the interim, a couple of things I want to catch up on. Eduardo Rodriguez returned to the mound over the weekend, Saturday, against the White Sox. And boy, he was good. I said pretty good earlier in the day. I said, yeah, man, he was pretty good in that game. And that's exactly how I said it, with that tone. You know, Rodriguez was pretty good. I mean, he was pretty good in that game. I got chastised for it for being too negative, for saying it just like that. So fine, here you go. Eduardo Rodriguez was good on Saturday. Really good. 5 2/3, 3 hits, 1 run, 1 walk, 12 strikeouts. 12, and it looked to me like he had the same stuff he had early in the year. And this is no small thing for Eduardo Rodriguez, because if you remember, in his prior years with the Red Sox, every time Rodriguez got hurt, he wasn't the same guy afterward. Regardless of what the injury was, knee or anything else, he was not the same guy. Now, he looks like he was the guy, same guy as he was before the injury when he sprained his ankle. So huge development there. And if I'm the Red Sox, do not mess with that. Do not even entertain sticking this guy in the bullpen. Okay? Now, if he pitches badly down the stretch here in September, that's something different. But even if he can give you 6 innings, I'll take it. 6 would be great. Even if he can give you 5 innings, I'll take it. Okay, I'll take it. Given the way the Red Sox starting pitching has been the last couple of Octobers, to me, Eduardo Rodriguez, you want him in the rotation, and he might have the second best stuff in the rotation. I think his stuff is better than Price's stuff. So Price knows how to pitch. Price has been around. But in terms of raw stuff, I think Eduardo Rodriguez's stuff is better than David Price's. Price will get game 2 if he keeps going like he'd been going before he got hit by the line drive. But overall, Rodriguez has better stuff. So that was a positive development for the Red Sox over the weekend. Secondly, Brandon Phillips was called up today officially and added to the 40-man roster, which means he'll be able to play here down the stretch. Phillips hasn't played in the big leagues all year. Here's my question to you as a Red Sox follower. Would you rather have Brandon Phillips and still have the ability to trade a prospect to another team, maybe for a middle reliever, or would you rather have Ian Kinsler? So I'm no big Kinsler fan. He was good last week. And in fact, I want to say like over the last 7 games or something to that effect, that Kinsler's hitting in the high 300s. Kinsler's been a lot better of late, and he's had some good games recently. But what the Red Sox really wanted at that position was defense. That was the goal. They wanted defense at that spot, because Eduardo Nunez and Brock Holt, Nunez was brutal over there. Absolute train wreck at second base. Holt is okay, but he's just not as, what's the right word, nimble around the bag maybe as some guys who play second on a more regular basis. So Kinsler has come. Kinsler's much better at turning a double play. Kinsler has terrific range, particularly to his right. We saw that play at Yankee Stadium that he made going up the middle. Excellent. But Brandon Phillips, four-time Gold Glove Award winner, who is a absolutely dynamite defensive player all the way around. He runs pretty well. Now he's 37, but Kinsler's 36. And Phillips you got for nothing. For nothing. You picked him up off the street. Nobody gave Brandon Phillips a job. And so I think the Red Sox called up Phillips solely to see what he looks like here in the, not even to see what he looks like, to reward him for the minor leagues. Okay, to reward him for being a good soldier and sticking it out in the minor leagues. So they brought him up to the big leagues. He'll get some time here in September. But I don't think they have any illusions of putting him on the roster. They didn't trade for Ian Kinsler to have Brandon Phillips beat him out. In fact, they signed Phillips first. He didn't look great early, and then he had some sort of injury to his side or abdomen that really limited his availability down in Pawtucket. Since he came back, Phillips has played extremely well. So I'd be eager to see what Phillips looks like, because if Phillips is good here in the month of September, then the Ian Kinsler deal was largely irrelevant. They didn't need to make it. They didn't need to take on the money, and they didn't need to give up the prospect, both of which they could have used to fortify that bullpen, which incredibly is basically as it was at the start of the year. And again, that comment from Dave Dombrowski over the weekend, I don't know how that one doesn't send you into orbit if you are a Red Sox fan and believe that they have a chance at a world championship. This team has really excelled in just about every area this year, save for one. Okay, and that is that eighth inning. That area, particularly in close games, has been a problem all year long. The job's been there for someone to take it all season long, and no one has taken it. Not Barnes, not Kelly, not Hembree, and lots of guys have had it for short periods of time, but nobody's been able to sustain the performance and keep a grip on the job. Not one guy all year long. Lots of guys change hands at the deadline. The Red Sox acquired none. And then Dave Dombrowski has the audacity to say over the weekend, you have the tendency to look at your own pitchers, but when you look at a lot of the pitchers who had been discussed around the trading deadline, from a bullpen perspective, a lot of them have scuffled too. Just because you mention names doesn't necessarily mean they make you better at that particular point. It may be a different name. We feel comfortable that we will straighten things out. Well, I'm glad Dombrowski feels comfortable, because I don't. And I don't know about the rest of you. I don't know whether you feel comfortable too. Okay. Final edition of Trivia Tuesday coming up. 6-1. You call the contest line for 617-931-0985. And if you can't get through, you call the studio line 617-779-0985. We'll take the first five callers. You get to answer three questions in a row. If you answer them correctly, you will get a Seasons 52 gift card for $100, Seasons 52 Wine Bar and Grill. And we will enter you into the drawing for two tickets to see Boston play New York, plus two round-trip train tickets and a night's hotel stay later this month. It's a pretty good get, okay? Pretty good get. Again, so our thanks to Seasons 52. And we will do the drawing, by the way, tomorrow night. Our promotions director, marketing director, Kelly Anderson, will do the drawing herself. Give me the name. We'll announce it tomorrow night on the program. Trivia Tuesday is next.
The Baseball Reporter's Tony Mass, 98.5, The Sports Hub.